all of our listeners once again. This is Sarah Jewell, co-host for the Third Watch for Challenges of Faith Radio, hosted by Gary McCants. I'm so grateful to be with you today in continuing our series of the Third Watch, a time when men on the tower would look out beyond their city walls between the hours of midnight and 3 a.m. to identify any possible trouble that would threaten their community. Their duty was to raise the alarm and alert the townspeople. Gary and I, in these last days before Jesus returns, are offering you insight to what we are seeing and to help you prepare so you won't be discouraged, caught unawares, and surprised. God is love. Jesus is hope. And so, we thank God for bringing us together in obedience to His will, to include all of you in our fellowship of staying alert to God's activities in these very unsettled times. Father, we ask that you open all of our eyes and ears to make us sensitive to what's going on around us so we can prepare through prayer and observation the work of those that we need to stay away from and those we need to fellowship with. We ask you to keep us spiritually prepared for onslaughts of misinformation and negativity. We ask that you keep us strong in you, for you promised in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We ask through your Holy Spirit to help us pray and depend only on you, God, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Listeners, our discussion today is about God's activity happening now. It's about seeing and hearing events from a deeper spiritual standpoint and not just taking them at face value. I want to read you from the book of Isaiah, verses 6 through 7, and this is in chapter 62. God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and proclaims, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. God is saying that all of us can be watchmen, paying attention continually to what is going on around us. And it's our duty not to ignore or slack off, but stay alert, calling at all times upon the Lord. Meaning, my friends, to keep in prayer as we look to Him for resolution, redemption, and restoration. And not only for Jerusalem, but for us, His children, who have been grafted as branches into the vine of Jesus Christ, along with the natural branches of his chosen. And so we all look forward to a new heaven and a new earth that is built on justice, righteousness, and peace. And we continually look out for our countries. But until that time, the time of a new heaven and a new earth, we are witnessing God's active warnings and signs. He's reaching out to us, and it's our duty, as I said earlier, to keep our eyes and ears open for not only the small events, but big ones as well. And here is the recent big one. We all know what happened on October 7th, 2023. Hamas terrorists attacked Israel, brutally killing 1,143 people and taking 254 people hostage. Israel responded by bombing the Gaza Strip and launching an invasion that has killed more than 34,000 Gazans as of April 2024. And at the time of this broadcast, according to Israel, 73 hostages were reportedly killed on October 7th, or as they were in Hamas captivity. Some were returned, and as of the beginning of September of 2024, 101 hostages still remain in captivity. Overall, this war has now spread, and again at this time, No end is in sight. But throughout the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible, the prophets and the psalmists had been predicting attacks on Israel. But in those predictions, there is always the underlying hope of restoration. In the New Testament, we find this most solidly presented in the book of Revelation. So we have a firm hope in Jesus' return and in the restoration of his people. And that's all of his people. Sin will end. Our misery will end. Let me read you what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. The Apostle John hears a loud voice from the throne saying, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Listeners, we have that future hope. The old order of things has passed away. And the definition of biblical hope is different from the definition of our common use of the word hope. Our common use of hope is more like a wish. But biblical hope is firm understanding that what God has said will happen. It's total confidence in God's word. It's important for all of us, as part of staying alert to world events, to keep our eyes on the Mideast, because this conflict impacts not only Israelis and Palestinians, but all of us. Why? Because Israel is a part of end times prophecy. But other events are happening around us. And remember, if we keep in prayer, our spiritual preparedness grows. We begin to experience God's work and signs as we become increasingly sensitive in recognizing current events that have been prophesied. And I refer to you the book of Matthew, chapter 24. As I've mentioned it in almost all of our podcasts, please read it, even if you're not a Christian. Jesus speaks of a serious list of what to look out for as we enter these troubled days. Wars being prominent, as I spoke of, between Israel and the Palestinians. But we are also seeing and hearing in the conflicts, we hear about Russia and Ukraine. We are seeing and hearing the threats of China towards Taiwan. We know of cartel wars in Mexico, and we know the conflicts of Myanmar, Somalia, and in various nations in Africa. I'm hammering home the point we must be aware of world events, but in a spiritual and prophetic sense, because these are signs to prepare ourselves and make decisions about turning to God through his Son, Jesus. You might ask, well, how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you. By adding the reading of Scripture to your daily prayer life. You see, when we do, we begin to discern in a spiritual way of how we can recognize what we are seeing and hearing. And this helps us in determining what to expect in how the events of the world are being presented to us. I mean, we can't be at ground level. We mostly gather our information and news from what others show us and tell us. But this is where we need discernment in order to understand. And through Scripture, we find markers of prophecy in the escalation of wars, natural disasters, famines, deceivers, you know, those people who seem believable, but they have their own corrupt agendas. And my friends, Jesus speaks of health issues in these troubled times. He warns us in Matthew 24:7. He says, listen to this, "There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." He says the word pestilences. We can't shrug that prophecy off. COVID is a real example. The entire world was affected by it. And how many people died? Nations' economies were disrupted. People were in isolation. Schools and churches were shut down and had to resort to online teaching and preaching. So we were living it. But because we're paying attention, we, as believers, are not going to be surprised. Or we'll be caught up in it. We won't be protected from disturbances. But at least we know what to expect, and we know we can go to our Lord in prayer and trust Him for resolution and strength. Now, resolution might not be the solving of problems, but it'll be a resolution of peace in our hearts. Others who don't know the Lord will see only disaster or blame others for the circumstances, you know, basically pointing fingers. In the meanwhile, they'll listen to what others have to say. They'll follow trends, untruths, and explanations that are not of God. They won't understand the importance of God's view of seeing and hearing through the lens of God's Word. Non-believers will hold on to worldly discernment of particular concepts because they won't grasp the eternal meaning or consequence of either distorted information or the escalation of chaos by the ungodly. Yikes. I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes, "The God of this age," he's talking about Satan, "the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And I want to read you what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The dark spiritual forces easily influence the ungodly. And so what happens? A chain reaction happens. The ungodly influence other ungodly people, and those who are confused and looking for hope and answers fall into the trap of, we all know it, different movements, subjective ideology, and definitely the words of influencers, because they don't know God's word, and so they believe what other people are telling them based on those people's own personal insights. And so, in light of prophecy in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, the Apostle Matthew refers to Isaiah, who is also a prophet in the Old Testament, his prophecy. And he speaks, "You will listen and listen, yet never understand. You will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous, their ears hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would cure them." In other words, because of not knowing God and His Word, unbelievers will be trapped in their unbelief. And you can see this happening now. We're seeing this right before our very eyes and in our hearing. In their lack of faith, the ungodly are spiritually deaf and blind and follow only what seems right to them. I must read you what King Solomon of the Old Testament writes in the book of Proverbs. Okay, you can find this in chapter 14, verse 12. And this is spot on. He writes, "There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death." That's pretty powerful. What does he mean? Well, he's speaking of no doubt of disaster that can lead to real death. But ultimately, it's the loss of salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah writes in chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The ungodly's heart can deceive themselves into thinking their way is right, and then they try to convince others. Will we choose a way we think is the right way? Or do we choose God's way? Again, listeners, we have a choice, and we are in the times of our lives when it is critical to make the right choice. I want to bring up the recent U.S. presidential election. That's a can of worms. How can anybody forget it? Anyway, if you're not from the States, you and other countries have certainly heard about it. Certainly we did. We were bombarded with it through the whole election cycle. Hateful speech, hateful accusations, it was rampant. And the reason why I bring it up is that I want to point out again, this hate and this chaos is prophesied. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "They will be unkind, merciless, slanderers, violent, and fierce." Now, you might argue, rightfully, "Oh, it's been like that forever." Yes, it has. But seriously, have you ever witnessed such a ramping up of nationally televised and broadcasted rhetoric that was blatantly unkind, to use the Apostle Paul's words, and slanderous name-calling? But the name-calling was on both sides of the political spectrum. And then there were people who had the public's attention through their networks or platforms who presented fierce factual distortion. And yes, there was also violence. There were two attempted assassinations on one candidate. And from what we read in the press, even more were in the planning. But here are some of God's commandments we've got to keep in mind regardless of political beliefs. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, he writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." And this is from the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Clearly, in this U.S. presidential election, we saw two very different groups of people who in some cases hated, and probably still do, each other, most of it based on what was presented to them. It could be misinformation or spin, as the newscasters would say, or even truth that they might or might not agree with. In any case, the two different parties are at odds with each other. How do we view God's activity in all this as we move forward? We're certainly seeing and hearing behavior that's been prophesied, because that's exactly what we are seeing and hearing for ourselves in our own country. People who hate each other on a nationally divided scale. But my friend Ginger Cox, who is a Christian writer, puts it in unique perspective. She addressed the story of Lazarus. This is what she pointed out from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 43. This is an excerpt from her recent letter called "The Morning After November 5th," from her Reflections collection. Ginger writes, "Mary and Martha cried over Lazarus' death. It was evident how Jesus cared how they were feeling. Although he purposefully waited until after Lazarus was dead before he came, he then cried alongside them." Remember, listeners, verse 35, it read, "Jesus wept." So she continues, "Why? He felt their sorrow. He then raised Lazarus from the dead to show the power of God and a preview of things to come." She concludes with, "Jesus still cares, even though he reigns in a higher position as King of Kings. Whether we are celebrating or mourning, he desires an intimate relationship with us." So how do we react to the news? Do we believe God is in control, regardless of how we voted? I found Ginger's thoughts to be so important and pertinent to what we're discussing. Here we are viewing God's activities in our eyes and in our ears as a people, no matter where we are or who we disagree with. Do we believe that God is still in control, regardless of the series of events we are witnessing? If we do believe he's in control, then we have an entirely different attitude towards events and news that are unfolding right in front of us. Do you believe he cares? Yes, we do. Jesus wept at Lazarus' death, but in raising Lazarus, he showed us things to come. Through his love, there is hope. And here is where its assessing current events becomes important. First, let's begin to see and hear spiritually. Two, let's ask ourselves, if God is in control, what is his activity telling us? Three, how do we determine if what we are hearing and seeing is right, wrong, true, or false, or twisted? Four, the answer to question number two, what is his activity telling us, is that we go to God's Word and see what the Bible tells us. In other words, we evaluate events based on biblical direction. And keep in mind, always God's assurances. We know one way or the other, as we get close to judgment, Jesus is coming back, and we're in the third hour. And Gary and I are seeing and hearing from the watchtower God's activities through Jesus and the prophets' prophecies. God is in control. He has us. And I'm going to recommend the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And I suggest one with a study guide. It's a little bit difficult to get through, but it's worth reading. But listen, it's not all doom and gloom. It's about understanding what's going on around us in this present age. But understand, we're blessed because we have hope, biblical hope. God stands by his word. He's going to strengthen us, sustain us, and keep us in his hand. Why? Because he made us and loves us as his children. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25? I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. So I'm going to close this with an upbeat note. This is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you once again, dear listeners, for tuning in. I'm getting tongue-tied. And I always thank you, Gary, for your creation of Challenges of Faith Radio and your hosting of The Third Watch. If anyone would like to contact me, you can email me at teamofgod@earthlink.net. God is good, and we find victory in Jesus.
Yes, we do. We surely do. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio program, the seventh part of the third watch. Thank you, Sarah. Want to acknowledge the God of the Scriptures. And the reason why you hear me say the God of the Scriptures is because, you know, you really don't know when you're communicating with individuals what type of God, little g God, they're talking about. But the one I'm speaking of and Sarah's speaking of is the God of the Scriptures. And, of course, our listeners, especially tuning in from Podbean and FYYD Radio. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about the end of the world, and it really doesn't mean the end of life, but you already knew that. But it means the end of the world that has been dominated by what? Look around now. By evil. You know, the scripture let us know that the present evil world system, you know, all that you really see, is going to pass away, and it's going to come to a dramatic end. You'll hear a little bit more about this in the upcoming segments. We're also told that our Savior is going to come again, and he's going to set up a kingdom of righteousness, that which is right before him. And when you talk about social justice, and he's going to set that up as well, where there's not going to be any hatred that Sarah alluded to, or greed, or jealousy, or war, and guess, death as we know it will no longer be known. And this is called the kingdom of God. You know, our Savior didn't engage in make-believe. You notice how he wasn't given to, you know, scare tactics or terroristic type tactics. He was truth and veracity personified. Did you notice that? And some may call it personified. But you notice how he indicated that when we see certain things come to pass, be assured that the end is near. You notice how he always indicated only those who have spiritual discernment given by the Holy Spirit of God can understand the trends and meanings of history. You remember that, my brethren of the household of faith? Do you notice how God's word, when you look at it and listen to it and read it and apply it to your life, how it plainly says that certain conditions is going to prevail just before the end? You notice how the Bible says there will be knowledge without wisdom. Look around today. There's more knowledge about everything than any other time in history. Do you notice there's more knowledge inside of our heads than in any time the world has ever known? But our hearts are empty. Do you notice that? Oh, look around globally, irrespective of where you happen to be, are living only for pleasure. You know it's true. But you notice while living that way, you're never really pondering about what life is really all about. When was the last time you pondered what life and living is really all about? Do you notice that when there's challenges to and for our faith, it allows you and I to think about what's important? You do, don't you? Time is running out for individuals to get right with God. The Bible says not Gary, not Sarah, not your pastor, not the pew member, not the human teacher, not the rabbi, not the priest, not the imam. The Bible says prepare to meet your God over in Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Are you delaying that today? Look around everywhere. The world is wrecked with pain, suffering, hunger, war, murder, greed, hate, fraud, and corruption. Every possible form of human government seems to be failing. You know it's true. And each new one seems to be unsuccessful in dealing with today's problems. Look around. The world's becoming more helpless and more hopeless. And you notice how it's grown more complicated in the age of IA technology. You said, Gary, there's no IA. That's right. Just wanted to make sure you was listening. AI technology. Have you been paying attention to that? Do you notice how the scripture says to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with the recompense of God. He will come and save you over in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4. Especially for the believers of the household of faith that's taking your eyes off of God and his word. There are a lot of sociologists and scientists today walking around globally who believe we have the capability to destroy ourselves. But guess what? Like Sarah alluded to as it relates to good news, hope is going to come back to this earth. And one day, he's going to make things right. But for right now, we're living in a period called grace. And grace is that God gives to you and I as humans. You are human, aren't you? You're not an AI, are you? And he gives that to us so that we can decide to live for him and not for ourselves. You know, our Savior said that as the end approaches, the world is going to be on the immoral binge like you've never seen before in history. Look around. You're seeing the human race right now in that type of condition. But for those who believe in him, you do, don't you? Be confident of the truth that there's no situation beyond God's control. You don't need to fear the future. God is already there. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time you prayed for others who are still lost in hopelessness? When was the last time that you prayed that they would turn their hearts to Almighty God? When was the last time, especially during this third watch time? I'm Gary McCants, along with Blink author and co-host S.A. Jewell. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and tuning in. But you know, you didn't tune in by accident.